Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for joining me today. St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner, and if you've been thinking beyond corned beef and cabbage and looking to elevate your idea of Irish cuisine, look no further than acclaimed Irish chef and cookbook author Dorina Allen. Dorina Allen has been called the Julia Child of Ireland. She's a best-selling author who has hosted her own cooking show called Simply Delicious on Irish TV. She's also the founder of Ballymaloe Cookery School. Dorina Allen joins us now to talk about the new edition of her best-selling cookbook, Simply Delicious, the Classic Collection, which includes 100 of her favorite timeless and tested recipes, from Ballymaloe Irish stew to mackerel with mushrooms and herbs. Dorina, welcome.
Thank you.
So, what are some of the key ingredients and flavors that make up Irish cooking?
Well, now in Ireland, we're very favored by nature because we have fantastic produce, and we have a long growing season, no shortage of water. We really understand just how beautiful the produce is. And all good food starts with good produce, really. And I've been sort of, I suppose, known for doing using real food, cooking it simply so it tastes delicious.
I was just sharing with you as we were looking through the cookbook before we went on air, many of your recipes have 6-7 ingredients. And you just believe in that. It's simple, simple recipes.
Exactly. This one actually is, this book was originally printed 30 years ago, in fact. And I did a whole series of little paperback books called Simply Delicious with a television series with each one. And then they were out of print. So they were, practically every house in Ireland, this is not a boast, it's just an actual fact, had a copy of Simply Delicious, or 3 or 4 different versions of Simply Delicious. And hardly a week went past for the last number of years and somebody wouldn't ring and say, where do I get a copy of this or that? And because I lent it to my friend and they never gave it back to me, or I want to give it to my child going to university or something. And I said, well, try a charity shop or something. Then my publishers, Kyle Books and Octopus, said, look, why don't we pick out 100, and that was really, really tough, recipes from that collection and put into a small hardback for, we brought it out in Ireland before Christmas. It's been launched here in the US this week.
What is it that you believe about simple cooking? Simple ingredients prepared straightforwardly.
You know, what we need, I mean, everybody talks about healthy food and all this sort of thing nowadays. And oftentimes when they say something is healthy, it's quite the opposite. But all we need is real food, not edible food-like substances. Mm-hmm. And if we can cut out all the super processed food out of our diets completely and really focus on getting lovely fresh produce in season, it's so easy to make it taste good. You don't have to be a magician, or you don't have to put lots of twiddles and bows and smarties on top. Just cook it simply, put a few little fresh herbs with it, and sit down around the kitchen table and enjoy it.
Twizzles, bows and smarties, maybe the favorite thing I've heard said on this radio show.
Now, no skid marks on plates or any of that. You know, in the end, home cooking is by far the most important kind of cooking, isn't it? And I know everybody's incredibly busy nowadays. So, you know, you need recipes that are fairly quick and easy to do. But if you start off with mass-produced, denatured food, then you really do have to be a magician, actually, to try and get it taste good. And you see, I'm the eldest of 9 children, and my mother loved to cook. I lived in the little in the country in Ireland, and still do, actually. But basically, Mummy really knew the importance of feeding us nourishing, wholesome food. And she used to say, if you don't put the effort and the time into the food on the table, you'll give the money to the doctor or the chemist, or what you'd call your pharmacist over here. So we knew that food should be our medicine. And, you know, so many memories are connected to the food we ate, particularly when we were children. And you know, the memories of sitting around the table. And I think I know it's a different time nowadays, but it's really worth hanging on to at least a couple of times. I often joke that, you know, even if you're only arguing, it's keeping the lines of communication open when you're sitting around the table and enjoying the food. And then the other thing, it's happening in our country as well as in yours here, that several generations now have left our houses without having the basic life skills to feed themselves properly. So I work work very hard in Ireland to try to change the system where we can get practical cooking skills re-embedded in the national school curriculum. So I think otherwise we're failing in our duty. It says me, I sound very granny-ish, but
no, I think you sound very wise.
Our young people, because otherwise they're totally dependent on the multinational food companies for their food. And let's face it, they can hardly be expected to have our best interests at heart. Their responsibility is to their shareholders.
And to make money.
And yeah, well, there you are. It's we have to take back responsibility ourselves. Yeah.
My guest is Dorina Allen. You and your husband founded the Ballymaloe Cookery School.
Yes, well done. Perfect pronunciation.
Thank you. I practiced.
Yes.
Why did you want to start this school?
Well, basically, Ballymaloe, my parents-in-law in the early 60s converted their great big country house into what you would call over here an inn and a restaurant, which is famous for the quality of its food. The menu was written every day, depending on what food was in the garden and came in from the lovely fresh fish from Ballycotton. And then in the 1983, I married the eldest son. I'd come from hotel school. And then we were at a second farm. And so we started a cooking school in the middle of the farm, in the middle of a 100-acre organic farm with quite extensive gardens and greenhouses. Mm. And so it's bliss to have a cooking school in the middle of a farm where we can produce so much of our own produce. We have our own hens and we have our own beef, our own pigs. We don't have any sheep, but because we don't have quite enough room. But then when the students come, and they come from all over the world now and have for a long time, then they can see everything, literally how everything is produced from the farm to the fork. But this is not a conversion on the road to Damascus. Basically, we've always been like, this is the way we've always farmed. And then they can learn how to, if they want to, they milk a cow, and then they can make butter with it, learn how to make butter with the cream, cheese, yogurt. We do fermenting, foraging, all of that. So it's really, they can literally go out in a boat and catch the fish and bring it back in. So we do lots of courses. We do three-month certificate courses, very like gastro boot camp, really full-on courses, so people can get the skills to earn their living from their cooking in just 3 months, or it could be a week or a weekend or a day. And if you're in the area in down in East Cork, and if you come over to Ireland, you can literally join in on an afternoon cooking class, and so in the middle of your holiday. So, and the gardens and the farm and everything are open to the public as well.
That sounds just like a great afternoon to spend on a vacation. Sounds really fun.
I know you
fun.
Can have a taste of all that yummy food as well.
Well, let's get to the food. It's simply delicious. My guest is Dorina Allen. Irish stew. We're just going to go straight for a classic.
Oh, I know. That's the cliched one, but very delicious it is. A great one-pot dish, isn't it? So it's made... there are different versions around the country. So this is the Ballymaloe version that's in here. And of course, it's based on lamb, and it would have been even mutton years ago. And then we also put both carrots and onions in. At some parts of Ireland, they only put onions in. And then also you pop in lovely flowery potatoes as well, and then you've got a whole meal in one dish, and pop that down in the middle of the table, and everybody will want to tuck in. And then you need lots of good Irish butter to slather into those potatoes, and that's what memories are made of now.
Why does it change from region to region? Why does Irish stew have different different flavors, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's like everything. It depended to a great extent on what people had and what was in season, you know. And in the north of Ireland, particularly, they got quite sniffy about not putting in carrots. They prefer just a white stew. And sometimes they slice the potato in layers between it to thicken the juices as well. But we normally cover the whole top of the stew with potatoes, which then cook in the steam, and they have the flavor of the stew. And it's such a good thing, actually. It might be cliched, but it's such a good thing.
Sniffy. You're just giving me a whole new vocabulary that I'm going to deploy over the next month. We're going to stay with some classics. Beef with stout. Do you have to have a particular kind of stout?
Well, you know, people will, of course, know the Guinness and all of that. But in Ireland now, we have so many artisan breweries as well. So there are lots of other stouts. So we always like to use something that's local, if at all possible. So, you know, a good dark stout would be good for that.
Why is it a good braising liquid?
Well, of course, you cook it nice and slowly. It's got all that richness, those sort of caramelized, caramel sort of flavors, which really add to the depth and flavor of the stew. And then we have great beef in Ireland, because a lot of our best foods come from our grass. And, you know, in Ireland, we can grow grass like practically nowhere else in the world. Yes. All that green, the 40 shades of green, and all that biodiversity as well. And our beef animals tend to be out, and our indeed our cows, for that matter, tend to be out for a long part of the year. And so the flavour of our beef and our lamb, and of course our dairy products, are legendary, really. And this is not just a boast. It's actually, that's the reality. Yeah.
You know, off Cape Cod, they have some of the best fish. It's not a boast.
It's not a boast. It's just true. Yes, exactly.
Is there a certain cut of beef one should use for beef and stout?
Well, basically, what you're looking for is you're looking for a stewing beef cut. So it should be something from the front end of the animal and so on. Something, and I'm always a great believer in a little bit of fat running through it, because that's what really gives you flavour. And if you want to do something like shin of beef, which is a very inexpensive cut, and which you cook slowly to melting tenderness, and that gives you that gorgeous, just sort of unctuous, melting sort of texture.
I think you need to have an audio track with your book. I think it needs to be an audio book, because I love hearing you speak about it. My guest is Dorina Allen. Simply Delicious is the book. I actually went into the index and I looked for places in Ireland I love to see if there was a recipe, and there was one. Yes. Dingle pie.
Oh, wow. This is in Kerry, of course, Dingle. And this
is a beautiful,
wonderful lamb pie. And this really has been traditional, and variations of this traditional in this part of Ireland for quite a long time. So again, this is made with lamb and with carrot and onion, and lots of lovely mountain thyme if you like to add it in. But if you want to ring the changes with it, you could put some cumin into it as well. And then the pastry, even if you've never made pastry in your life before, this is a hot watercress pastry, which is made literally just by melting butter, good Irish butter, with some water, and then stirring it into flour and salt. And then you have the pastry made in a couple of seconds. You do it with a wooden spoon. And even if you've never made pastry before, it's fantastic, that pastry. And you could use it for any, you know, that could be for this lamb pie, or it could be for chicken, whatever kind of pie you want to make. Somebody said to me that it was worth buying this book, especially for that pastry. And, you know, there's a great nostalgic thing about this book. So when we republished it, people just flocked into the shops in Ireland to buy it again, because a lot of people grew up with watching me on television. Mm-hmm. Their parents would put them sitting in front of the television and they'd watch me like cartoons. For some reason, children are fascinated by watching cooking programs, actually. Yeah.
My son loves them.
Yeah. And it's a really good thing to get. I'm always urging people, bring your kids into the kitchen, bring your nieces and nephews into the kitchen, and, you know, teach them how to do some of these things. And it's not a question of dragging them in. They just love it. And so all of us, I'm a granny now, 11 times over, actually. And I think we have a real responsibility to pass on whatever skills we have to the next generation, so they can have the fun that we had.
I'll never forget one day you said to me, "Paprika adds pizzazz, Mom."
Oh, well, how about that for super cool? My goodness, I'm not sure some of my grandchildren might, but...
I laughed for like an hour after that. My guest is Dorina Allen. The name of her book is Simply Delicious. Let's say we are not ignoring vegetables.
Oh, we certainly aren't.
We have many vegetables. In fact, one of my favorite lines of the book is, celery gets a bad rap.
Yes.
What can we do with celery?
Well, lots and lots of things with celery. I mean, obviously it makes lovely crispy, it's lovely and crispy and delicious in salads, but even the sort of old-fashioned, what sounds like old-fashioned doesn't mean it's not brilliant, sort of celery mornay or a celery soup. Mm. Super delicious. And you can kind of, also nowadays, so many times the cabbage and cauliflower and all of those things that we used to just boil to bits years ago, now of course people roast and bring up the flavour. You can do the same thing with celery, and it's really good. And of course it's gorgeous with, you know, blue cheese and all of those sort of flavours as well, pear and so on.
There is Lydia's traditional Irish salad.
Yeah.
I do not know it. I never heard of an Irish salad before. What is an Irish salad?
Oh, heavens above. We've lots and lots of salads. But this was actually, funnily, tomorrow the girls and their two past students at the Ballymaloe Cookery School, Jess and Claire de Boer, at King Restaurant. I don't know if you know King. It's on the corner of King Street here in New York. And they are doing fantastic food. But they're doing a lunch tomorrow out of this book. And this is the starter that they chose.
Oh, fabulous.
What we call traditional salad. Now, I'll tell you what, if you went to visit your granny, mm-hmm. You know, in or whatever in Ireland on a Sunday, or even for that matter, if you wanted to make a salad in the summer, it would have been a very simple thing. It would have been lettuce, what you call Boston bib lettuce, ripe tomatoes cut in slices or into quarters, hard-boiled eggs, but lovely fresh eggs from your hens, pickled beetroot, probably some little scallions or spring onions. And then this is pre-mayonnaise time, before you were born, I'm sure. And so they made a lovely dressing, which was made with brown malt vinegar, that soft Barbados sugar, mm-hmm. and sieved the yolk of egg yolk, and then they chopped up the white and added it in later, and then some cream. So, and then it makes the most wow. delicious dressing, and that's what will be, that's what's poured over the traditional salad. And if you were visiting your relatives, as I said, on a Sunday, which was a great thing to do, mm-hmm. Then you might have a slice of the leftover cold meat from that was left over after lunch, like a slice of roast beef or lamb or something with it. But in Ballymaloe House, the country house hotel that we have in Ireland in East Cork, basically we serve that as a starter and the traditional salad, and everybody loves it. It's best in summer when the tomatoes are really ripe, and you know, when the beetroot is young and pickled. It's a really good thing, that, and very simple.
It's vibrant looking as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of these things of, you know, they've kind of come round again. What seemed to have been old-fashioned years ago, or sort of very sort of 50s or 60s, now is super cool again. So that's really good.
We have to finish with the dessert. Summer pudding. And we don't mean the of gelatinous pudding.
Yes.
This is more of you described this as the Marie Antoinette version.
Yes. This, and often summer pudding, which is a sort of quintessential summer dessert, is made with white sliced bread and then whatever fruit is in season. I particularly love it with black currants, but you could do a mixture of red currants, raspberries, and so on. And it's you line the bowl with the white cheese bread. But this one is made with cake. We make a sponge cake or a sort of butter sponge, line the thing with it, then fill the fruit into the centre and then cover it and then turn it out. It is super delicious. Even with one fruit like blackcurrants, it's just, it's what's the summer is made of, really.
Darina Allen's book is Simply Delicious, The Classic Collection. Darina, thank you so much for joining us on all of it. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Coming up next, my conversation with Colin Quinn. You're listening to All of It on WNYC.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.